The following is a paid advertisement from Sony Interactive Entertainment.
Bring in summer the right way with Sony's Days of Play. Gonna wake up, boot up, check out all the sales up on display. Rise of Ronin just for you. Maybe Marvel, Spider-Man too. So come on now, hey, don't delay with Sony's Days of Play.
Join in Days of Play and celebrate play with exclusive rewards, deals, and experiences across PlayStation's platform. Daily prizes come through the community challenge, like Astrobot collectibles and even the EAFC Esports Tournament.
It's June 12, 2024. Don't wait anymore.
Hello, 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 everybody. Happy Pride Month. You are here and we are queer. I am one of the two hosts for this FGC cast. I am Da Purple Sharpie and I am, as always, joined by
Saki Sakura. Happy Pride Month, everyone. And I hope that you are feeling proud of yourself this month, and not just only this month, but every single day of the year. It is important to be proud of you.
Very, very correct. And Saki, as a matter of fact, this Pride Month, there's actually a very special opportunity for people to support the LGBTQ plus inside the community, otherwise known as the Alphabet Mafia. Do you want to go ahead and talk about it?
Absolutely. So this month, especially for Pride, Odin's Eye Gaming, which is a community-ran organization, they are actually grouping together with other tournament organizers to run an online quote major with different games involved, all for the efforts of Pride and raising money for the Trevor Project. So you got your Guilty Gear, you got your Street Fighter, you got Mortal Kombat. All of these games are all featured with the help of some awesome community friends to go for a really awesome cause to raise money during Pride Month.
Now, this is an awesome opportunity for people who are allies, who are queer members, who may just literally want to support the fighting game community in general, to actually give back in a real way that matters. If you can, retweeting this post, sharing any of the VODs or the stream link when it goes live, and obviously actually donating helps immensely. Saki, can you actually talk about why this program was so important to you and why you chose to align with it? Because I did see you down as one of the creators for this project.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, once again, anytime someone registers, you do pay a $5 entry fee, but that entry fee is strictly to raise money for the Trevor Project, which is a nonprofit organization helping LGBTQIA plus youth, especially with suicide prevention. Mm. Now, for me, one, mental health, really big thing for me, especially someone that suffers from depression and anxiety. But more than anything, as a demisexual and pansexual person, I'm incredibly proud to be able to participate in such an awesome initiative. For me, it has been ever since I started streaming, and even during my start in the fighting game community, I've always wanted to support and advocate during Pride Month, especially, and collab with more creators. You know, just this morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, I was collabing with an Australian streamer for raising money for Pride. And honestly, every year I ask, how can I do more? How can I make a huge impact? And I'm so happy that this year I actually get to do three full projects. Two of them I'm already doing, which is this Pride FGC tournament and the collaboration with the Australian streamer. And then I have one more, but that'll be out later in the month. And it's just really proud to be able to do more than what I'm used to do.
Well, congratulations, Saki, on raising so much money. And that's huge. As always, you guys, just like Saki said, giving back to a good cause is really, really important. Opening your pockets, if you can't afford to do, always helps immensely inside of this space. And especially with a project like, you know, Trevor Project, like, you're really just helping so many people by doing that. I think it's great that we can have programs like this, not only inside the fighting game community, but inside the gaming community at large. And I'm really happy, Saki, that you're able to be a part of this, truthfully.
Absolutely. But you know what's also big happening this month, Sharpie?
What?
We got some Street Fighter 6 news after its 1 year celebration. That's right. We have officially celebrated the first full year of Street Fighter 6. It is quite crazy that like literally last year we were all here waiting to press the newest game on the block. And it is again, SF6. But more than anything, we also got some really cool announcements.
Now, what type of announcements, truthfully, can I ask?
Of course, you can ask. Let's actually go. Do you want to know competitive or content first?
Let's go competitive first. Let's go competitive.
Okay. I feel you. I'm also excited for competitive. So, World Warrior is back. Now, Capcom Cup has mentioned before when they first announced that Capcom Cup was actually happening, that there was going to be offline premieres. But there's also going to be online premieres, including the World Warrior Pro Tour. Now, I have the distinct honor to be working with a special group of people that I think you might have heard from before, Incendium GG. They are actually the TOs and the organization for the North America East region.
Oh, wow. Oh,
by the way, I said North America. That includes Canada. That's right. We now have super regions as part of the World Warrior Project.
That's huge.
Meaning that we now have US and Canada mixed together, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 qualifiers to see who will be going and heading to Capcom Cup.
That's huge. You know, honestly, Saki, I have to ask, this company, Incendium, like you said that you're working with them, but have they done events before, like at this caliber? Or is this like, you know, I'm obviously always about supporting indie members and smaller groups inside the community, but do they have a history of like doing events?
Yes, they do. So not only were they in charge of running running Canada East for the World Warrior project, they also just this year hosted Electric Clash, which was the first Tekken event in April. And this picture that you see right there, shout outs to them. I was actually working social media, so unfortunately I couldn't be there. But you got Mufasa, you got Vince, and you got the whole entire Canadian region literally coming together to play in some good Tekken.
That's huge. That's huge.
I love them a lot. They do host weeklies, by the way, Mondays. So they do bi-weeklies for uni on Wednesdays. And then they do on Mondays and Fridays, they interchange between Guilty Gear and Granblue on Monday, and then Tekken 8 and Street Fighter on Friday. So they have tons of history to their name.
Well, you know, Saki, I'm always happy to see grassroots events growing and getting opportunities, especially from AAA publishers, which, you know, AAA publishers, when like a year announcement comes out, they have news. In fact, I actually think we have even more news than what you just announced, which I know is crazy because you announced so much. I know. They actually showcased at the Summer Game Fest an exclusive trailer, two trailers, as a matter of fact, but we'll get into the second one in a moment. This literally animated trailer showcased two brand new characters coming inside of Street Fighter 6 in this very next season, right? And so we get a look for the very first time of King of Fighters, Terry, in addition to May also being added inside of Street Fighter 6 officially, which is absolutely insane. Like, you get to see this. I actually think it's crazy, personally, that this collaboration is happening. Oh, I'm sorry. How could I literally forget? They also brought back one of my queens, Elena, into the game for Street Fighter 6. And this was huge. Like, this literally broke the timeline when it was first announced. Saki, I'm sure you saw it. How did you feel about it?
So first and foremost, actually, I do want to kind of like also reiterate, I know King of Fighters is like a big, like, it is the first thing you think of when you see Terry and Mai, but Sharpie, they're actually from Fatal Fury, and you can actually tell from Mai's outfit. Mm. Mai's outfit is actually more from the Fatal Fury series than King of Fighters. As far as the announcement goes, though, first off, Capcom, you ain't sneaky with the Luke and Jamie fan art, all right? I saw the ship before it sailed, and I am happy we're pushing the ship along. That's the first part. The second part is, first of all, I love that Elena's back. I was like, you know what? I would like Elena back. And everybody was like, no, Saki, how could you say that? She's not coming back. Look at that. I called it. I called it when Testament was coming back for Guilty Gear. And I called it when she's coming here for Street Fighter 6 for Elena. I called it. And as far as mine's concerned, Sharpie, we were talking about this earlier. This is another franchise that doesn't do guest characters.
Yep.
And we got guest characters. Yep.
You know, actually, I just want to make a quick point before we move on to the very next DLC character, which I'll let you announce. We kind of spoiled a little bit if you're watching the video podcast, so just pretend you didn't see anything. But now, with the addition of these two SNK Fatal Fury characters inside of here, officially, I think Street Fighter and Fatal Fury, or, you know, KOF, whichever one, right? Those are the only two traditional fighting games to ever be featured inside of a platform fighter, specifically inside of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Because they have Tekken's in there too. How did I forget? What am I even talking about?
It's so a little hard to remember Tekken, to be fair.
It's hard because Kaizura inside of Smash is like such a difficult character, but it is really interesting to see like all these collaborations now inside of the Street Fighter franchise. You know, so many people were asking for like a Street Fighter Cross X, you know, Tekken, SNK, KOF, whatever. And now we're essentially getting that. But Saki, mm-hmm, the absolute best host I've ever had on this podcast. No offense to Yohozi or Black Yoshi, but there was even more news. There was even more news about guest characters. Talk to us.
For you, it was the day that Bison came to your village. But for me, it was a Tuesday. Oh! And that's right. I love that. I got that in. That's right. Bison has returned to Street Fighter 6 and on a horse? Question mark. That's right. He apparently, they're going with this, like, he just suddenly woke up and he kind of doesn't know much except that he's just Bison. And he's like a pretty big guy that like is ready to pretty much mess stuff up. But we got to see gameplay trailer, which you can actually see if you're watching on the video broadcast here for the podcast. You know, we see a lot of iconic moves there. He's looking pretty spicy. His stage is, of course, Cody's stage, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe this is Cody's.
So pretty standard stuff. Now, I do want to mention this, though, Sharpie.
Uh-huh.
Bison release date was revealed, and the release date is about 2 days before a big event, and that is CEO.
So, Saki, I have to ask, because didn't Capcom just do this with their very last character that they came out with, Akuma? That was like, what, 2 weeks before Combo Breaker, right?
It was actually 3 days before Combo Breaker.
3 days now, before, wow.
Something that is the same, or I guess you could say like the a clue to a pattern, potentially, right? We're just here theorizing, of course, so just take this with a grain of salt. We've noticed that the updates have come out before events that are not part of the Capcom Pro Tour. Mm. So, for example, with Combo Breaker, it's always been this way when it comes to the Capcom Cup. They always announce it, and by the time they actually start, it's always after the Labor Day weekend. So it's no surprise there, but it is interesting that they had released Akuma literally 3 days before Combo Breaker. And then we have this one with CEO, which is just 2 days. Now, in terms of logistics and Sharpie, you are also a TO, so you probably know this very, very well.
Yeah.
It is a very difficult situation when you have to update all of these consoles, as well as spend all of that money on the DLC to get the consoles updated before an event happens. Much less, by the way, you as a competitor, you kind of have to prepare now for an entirely new patch. Thankfully, it depends on what the tournament organizer does when it comes to allowing the character, but it is still a bit of a struggle bus when you kind of have to pretty much prepare an entire new update and go into it right into a big event such as CEO and Combo Breaker.
Oh, for sure. For absolute positive. And I want to just add something to that. It's like you said, it's not just about like the cost to the organizer and the labor that it takes to like make sure that now very possibly all of those consoles are on a previous patch and have not been updated. It's also labor for the competitor who doesn't necessarily know if the event is going to be on that patch or not, right? Like, I think in Combo Breaker's case, they put out a survey several weeks before the minute that the new character was announced being like, hey, do you guys want to let it rock? And like we talked about the very last cast, they let it rock. That was crazy. That was, I think y'all are wild for that, for sure. Like, y'all are just built different. I personally could absolutely never, but they did. So just as someone who lives inside of the CEO area, and like, this is kind of like your home major, what do you expect to be the reception from Street Fighter players inside of that region and outside of that region regarding this character possibly being patched? And once again, just reminding everyone that we are theorizing here. It's not, you know, heavy, but I do want to ask for some Saki predictions.
So I will say that I don't think people will be willing to play on this patch as they were trying to play with Akuma. The reason why I say that is Akuma was a well-awaited character that everyone was super excited to play. Mm-hmm. Not only that, it was a very big patch in terms of balance changes as well, which we'll probably get into a little bit in just a few, because that did kind of play into some things a little bit.
Yep.
But I don't foresee that Bison and this patch will be playable at CEO. And also, once again, it's a bit about 2 days before. So if you really look at it from like a convention going time period, or, you know, like kind of like your timeline, better said, with Akuma, you had at least like the Tuesday, the Wednesday, and then you were there Thursday. And then everybody was like still somewhat kind of warmed up, and the consoles were ready. Even Combo Breaker had an entire room for that. With CEO, it's actually a bit different to actually be able to allocate that appropriately, unless you go to like Jabali Land, which is where all the arcades in the BYOC area tends to be. So I think that if they're going to decide, they'll probably send a survey, but I have a feeling many goers will not be wanting to play on this patch.
It'll be really interesting to see. Myself, as someone who plays a relatively underused, underutilized, and unforgiving character like Lily inside of Street Fighter, I don't think any of these characters should be allowed, personally. Well, actually, no, that's not true. I think they should be allowed, because you know what? I think they're totally and completely fair, to be honest. And I'm not just saying that because I think that Lily is super duper strong against like day one, day two type characters. I'm not saying that at all. I have absolutely no biases, you know? I think truthfully that we should just let it rock for the history. For the history of it, for the respect of the fighting game community, you know? And speaking of letting stuff rock, Saki, there was a really big tournament that we missed and we haven't necessarily talked about now for about 2 weeks. We're recording this podcast on June 9th. So about 2 weeks ago, we had Combo Breaker, which you unfortunately were not able to attend, but there was a plethora of news coming out of it. And I actually want to get started with some of the best news to ever come out of this. Myself as a Lily main, I'm so proud to announce that we actually had a Lily main win Combo Breaker. I was so incredibly, incredibly proud to see this first and foremost. Okay, I'm just gonna be honest. I opened up the doc and I almost started crying, Saki. I was so happy. Congratulate. Look at the pop-off. Look at the pop-off. That's just that right there. Beauty. Absolute just love. Nothing like it inside of this space whatsoever. But Saki, talk to us about why this matters.
So first and foremost, this is the first major that Lily has won right off of the Akuma patch. I believe she did get a couple of buffs in her kit, which helped a lot, as you can see here for El Chakotay, who was able to take it home for the win. One thing I do want to mention just specifically about El Chakotay is that they have been grinding since, I want to say, Street Fighter V Hardcore, like the last two Capcom Cups for Street Fighter V. right? And then Street Fighter VI, they've been like really pushing hard. So this win isn't just like, oh, I won a major. This is a win that's like, I've set my goal to try to take a W at something major like this. Mm. And so confidently too, right? Like mm-hmm. we saw it there was a 3-1 victory in that grand finals match. It was against Luke, which is considerably one of the best characters in the game currently at this time. And just look, like that proud moment right there is like, I did it. Like, we got it, you know? And it's just so passionate and amazing. And by the way, everyone, if you're watching this and you're tuning in, definitely check out El Chacote's YouTube. He actually went ahead and posted the full kind of like run and thoughts on his YouTube, and he's actually trying to grow it. And I love that players are trying to be more proactive in their content grind and doing stuff like this. Like, this is awesome. This is so cool and so amazing. Congrats again to your win.
He did great. He actually posted a statement. I'm just very briefly going to read it and then we'll move on. But basically he said, what's amazing to me about my win this past weekend at Combo Breaker is I entered my first ever major tournament 10 years ago, that same weekend called UFGT 10. Combo Breaker took over and became its successor. Even though they aren't the same event, I kind of won where it all started for me. And you know, Saki, I think this is a really good point because not a lot of people know about the hidden history between like Combo Breaker and UFGT, which actually Adam Keats, one of the lead developers for Killer Instinct Season 2, that's his event. And he and Rick both ran that event, I believe, in Combo Breaker, you know, when he got started getting busy with Killer Instinct and started getting busy with, like, Dive Kick and really focusing on his work at his job at Iron Galaxies. Combo Breaker was what was birthed out of that. I actually think the very first couple of Combo Breakers, the focus was Killer Instinct for a lot of it.
That's true. And, you know, I think I got goosebumps just reading that statement. When you go back to where it kind of all started for players, that's a player's dream.
Yeah, it is.
Right? That's like a full circle moment for a lot of players that, you know, for people in the audience, they get hyped. They see the momentum. They see the energy. They're part of the energy. And then, you know, but they don't see the history. And I love that. I love that so, so much. But you know, there's more history, right,
Sharpie? There is so much more history. And Saki, I'll allow you to take it away, but let's get into some good-ass Tekken.
Absolutely. So Tekken 8, this was the first Combo Breaker for Tekken 8. It was entirely sponsored, by the way, by Chipotle. So the winner won a year's worth of Chipotle. Kind of a little jealous because I like me some Chipotle.
I love me some Chipotle, bro. Shout out to Chipotle, sponsor us.
But right here, this is it. AK from the Philippines taking down Arslan Ash. And you want to know why this win, this pop-up, was incredible, Sharpie?
Why? Why did it matter?
Because this is a rivalry that has been in the making for a while.
Ooh.
AK has come across Arslan Ash multiple times in a grand final situation and could not get that W for a while. And on top of all of that, it's been a struggle. It's been kind of a struggle here. But AK succeeded. And the crowd was hype. We mm-hmm. were here for the history. It's the first Tekken 8. And do you know what also special happened here?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I think I know this one. Firstly, this crowd reaction, absolutely amazing. Secondly, I'm going to pause the music very briefly, the background music, just because this crowd reaction is amazing. But Saki, I want to show you a chant that absolutely broke me when I was like editing all of this stuff in this footage. So the crowd, everyone knows that the crowd for these events is hype, right? But there was a crowd chant that was huge. Here it is. Good ass Tekken. Good ass Tekken.
You love to see it.
You absolutely love,
you love to
see it, bro. This is the very first Tekken 8 tournament to have ever taken place at Combo Breaker. And the fact that he won, it's monumentous. You know, it's absolutely, like, grats to him, bro. But Saki, talk to us about why and what else inside of a culture shift happened here for us?
So first and foremost, shout out to Vexley to getting this amazing picture of AK. Good. This is such a goated picture right here. The motion, the like stress, the relief, as well at all at the same time being shown. The Philippines, actually, there's a group on Facebook. They posted about AK and the fact that they won. And this is awesome because here in the United States, we're pretty used to like, you know, hey, there's a champion in these events.
Yeah.
It can reach maybe like a local news story, maybe regional, but truthfully, it's kind of like a normal thing over here. It's not as celebrated country role wise, mm-hmm. right? But what I love about Tekken and Tekken 8 specifically and Street Fighter specifically too, is that there are countries that are literally supporting these players. Mind you, it's incredibly hard to go through the process of acquiring a visa to try to get to these events.
Yep.
Okay. The fact that these countries actually make some national news and regional news about the players and their success is so like, wow, eye-opening, so cool in just every aspect of it. And again, you know, it just adds to that level of like, this is Tekken. Yeah. This is fighting games.
You know, I just want to shout out the fact that Tekken always has international representation, regardless of what tournament it's at, especially if it's a Tekken World Tour event. Like, there is always international representation. Korea shows up, like as we just saw, the Philippines show up. We have players from Africa show up. We have players from Pakistan show up. Like, this is an international game that has spawned legacies that literally reach all over the planet Earth. And I think that's really powerful. I think that's really amazing. Tekken is a really big game, and Tekken 7 was treated really, 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 really like well internationally, and it's starting to show inside of Tekken 8. I shouldn't say it's starting to show. I should say it's been showing for a while. But yeah, kudos. Definitely kudos. Like, huge freaking kudos to AK for winning there. And, you know, I'm excited to see the run back with Arslan, like, because Arslan doesn't take sitting down at these events, you know. But we have more events. We have more news. We have an entire Combo Breaker, essentially retrospective, to be very honest with you. So Saki, go ahead and get us into what we all strive to know about the Guilty Gear Strive event at Combo Breaker.
So for this one, this is another stop here for Guilty Gear and the Pro Tour for that. Needless to say, though, Tempest taking another win under the belt right there for Guilty Gear Strive. There was a lot of debate of whether or not it's the character or the player, as always with these things. But one thing's for sure, Tempest is truly your Guilty Gear GOAT. Probably the most consistent Guilty Gear player you'll ever come across in terms of from North America. But not only is it awesome and amazing to see that Tempest takes home another win for Guilty Gear Strive, but we also got to talk about the legendary run of Pata Chu all the way from the France region, okay, literally with Sin. And that was probably the most craziest story arc, I feel, for Guilty Gear. This one was definitely more guilty, like a more story arc for sure.
Yeah,
Pata Chu went from, I believe, on even on like the loser side of things, just straight up trying to get into this top eight, qualify it for it, with Sin, which is a character that has been up for debate for the longest as not being the strongest in Strive, and successfully qualifies and actually gets fifth place, if I'm not mistaken. And it's huge because the entire French region was in support and at Combo Breaker supporting Pata Chu.
That's huge. That's absolutely awesome. Congratulations to Pata Chu here, because honestly, it's like, there's so much international talent here, Saki. There's literally so much. Like, I don't think many other like major tournaments outside of Combo Breaker like have this much international. I think it's like Evo. Am I crazy? Am I wrong? I know CEO has like a really big international for like anime, but when we're talking about events like, you know, Tekken, events like Guilty Gear, events like Street Fighter, are we looking at as much international talent?
So we usually, for anime, truthfully, we look at the Japan and we look at the North America, what we really see in these other bigger games like Tekken and Street Fighter is the level of that, like, nations that are coming to compete from all across the world. Africa, Middle East, more Western Asian countries. Like it's really insane how much level of talent there is. Same thing with the Latin American community as well. Like, it is a lot more, like, I think Combo Breaker has really become a second home for the international players to come through and play, compared to, like, you know, going to Evo, which that tends to be, back then, it tended to be the only place where you could face against these international players. But now there's more opportunities over here.
And in addition, like, Podichu did a fantastic job, but I actually saw a tweet where there was someone who said, "Oh man, if this guy wins, I will be cutting off my," and he did it. He cut off all of his hair. He shaved his head.
Not the hair.
It happened.
No.
It happened. to me, that's the ultimate loyalty of, like, that's the ultimate, like, you know, shitposting vibes inside of a tournament. It's like, okay, you know what? I got y'all. We did it. You know what I mean? Like, go off. He was so hyped. That's international love. Now, of course, we do have even more news coming through. Bro, I'm telling you, Combo Breaker just had so many hits, especially the Grand Blue hits. We had actually Zippy winning Grand Blue, and we also had a crazy nasty run coming from B-Pod inside of this. So congratulations to both of those players. And I actually kind of briefly just wanted to talk about some of the stuff that we saw coming through. B-Pod actually posted saying, "Hey, just went back and watched the VOD. I didn't even realize the crowd was so loud because of the headphones. That's a magical feeling." And Saki, once again, this just really talks about how hype, because B-Pod is an American player. Zippy, I believe, is also an American player. I think everybody inside of the top three for Grand Blue were American. And it just kind of shows you, once again, it's like, this is how the community shows out. Like, you go back, you watch the VOD, and you realize, oh, everybody's just excited. Everybody's hype. And, you know, I think it's very well known, especially when it comes to production, that the crowd always wants the underdog to win just because it makes a better story. Like, everyone likes a Cinderella type of story, you know? But seeing it in real freaking time, honestly, like, seeing a player going back and being able to watch stream chat and being like, "Hey, the crowd was really cheering for me." Like, that's what makes fighting games special, you know?
Absolutely. And just to add a little bit more to the story, more for B-Paul personally, the story of B-Paul has been that, like, B-Paul has tried to grab that win since literally Blaze Blue. And it has definitely been short of the stick sometimes, and that's just the nature of these competitions. But I will say this, B-Paul's success in the game is still very much apparent and has been very growing, because every time a major has happened, B-Paul is just closer to that elusive W. So definitely, I foresee in the future, I'm looking at my tarot cards, I foresee the future that B-Paul will take that win very, very soon.
We'll see it. We'll see if it happens. But before we get into that, let's go ahead and finish up a little bit strong here with yet another really, really strong top eight. And Saki, I'll allow you to talk about it. Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat is indeed a thing. So Combo Breaker was the final offline premiere for the Pro Tour or Pro Comp Tour. This is the one right before Final Combat, which at the time of this recording will be a week away, or rather literally 7 days. Yeah, so about a week or so for that. Now, this was the interesting part about Combo Breaker and MK, is that there was a lot of passion, a lot of energy, and honestly, a lot of stories. Now, definitely, we saw many people coming out and really showing up for this last part to try to get as much points as possible before LCQ. But we definitely still lost that elusive trophy to the Chilean twins. That's right. FGC Nicholas is the winner of your Mortal Kombat 1, first one of Mortal Kombat at Combo Breaker, and it is actually a repeat, if I'm not mistaken. So last year, one Mortal Kombat 11, and then one this year as well.
Yeah.
But you had like amazing notes, amazing names like Ninja Killa, Sonic. You had Mighty Unjust. You had King Gambler. You had so many cool and amazing players here. So many different characters. John Cena was in the top eight. Couldn't believe that.
I didn't see any of that. That's cool.
Just couldn't see it. Yeah. But that is it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that kind of does it for most of the top eight news that we have here. But, you know, Saki, top eight isn't the only reason to watch Combo Breaker. I think Combo Breaker in general is a fantastic event with so many different games. Skullgirls and Killer Instinct had amazing showcases. But what I really want to talk about today is actually the Mystery Tournament, which is always a huge highlight at Combo Breaker. The Mystery Tournament is an event run at Combo Breaker by Tubbleware. It's actually something that I believe was originally created at UFGT, and he kind of like indoctrinated and created and brought to life at that tournament and has continued running it at Combo Breaker. But this year, there's a very special game for the very first time in the Grand Finals. And I'm not going to spoil the game about what it is right now, because I couldn't do that to y'all. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to allow y'all to actually go ahead and see. I'm going to go ahead and allow y'all to see for yourselves what this tournament looked like to everyone here as soon as this YouTube ad stops playing, because YouTube ads are the death of me. And it's crazy because I actually think, Saki, that there have been quite a few games actually in the Mystery Tournament in the past too, right? Like we've had games like Diddy Kong Racing. We've had games like I'm blanking on a couple. We've had really old like Sailor Moon type games as well. But I actually think this was one of the very first times we ever had a game specifically like this. And I'm gonna show y'all really quickly exactly what I'm talking about. Let's go ahead and run the clip. If it loads. I'm still delaying this right now. This is what we call inside the industry vamping, you guys. Okay. It's up. So the Mystery Game Tournament was huge. All right. Now, top eight was actually commentated by two players that are relatively well known inside the fighting game space. We had GM Croft and Tyrus. But the game is kind of, or I'm sorry, Tyrant. The game is what really, 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 really excited people. For the very first time inside of this Mystery Game Tournament, they actually used 2XKO. So 2XKO was the game that was highlighted and showcased and everything like that. And Saki, I gotta ask you, did you expect something like this to even happen? You know, did you expect to see a brand new game like 2XKO showed off at an event like this?
No, so this is one of the reasons why I was like cursing my bronchitis when I was diagnosed with it before I was supposed to head to Combo Breaker. It's the fact that 2XKO had an arcade cabinet at Combo Breaker that made me so mad, because I was like, this was my opportunity to finally play, because I'm dying to play this game. But more than anything, I thought it was such a well-planned, I wouldn't say planned, but I'm sure that they spoke to like Rick and they're like, hey, so can we like play or can we have this game featured in the Mystery Tournament? And it was such a smart move just in general, because even though this is still relatively like new gameplay, you're not going to see like the highest of levels of gameplay. It still shows that like, once again, Riot is knowing what we like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is how you actually bring a new fighting game at such a big level that is the level of Riot, because again, indie studios, they're already working with the community, right?
Yeah.
They're already on a daily basis communicating with someone within the community and also with a big influencer, but still being already inside. This is Riot trying to be like, hey, we know we're known for this, but we want you to know we also love what you all are doing. And this is a way to show that. So I love this. This is amazing to see. I'm so happy. I love 2XKO and I haven't even played it yet.
You know, it's kind of wild to me personally, Saki, that you've never played this game, because even though you weren't able to go to Combo Breaker, you actually reacted to some of the game footage in real time. Do you actually want to talk about this YouTube video that you went ahead and posted with your reaction really quick for us?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, just want to shout out Dynamic Focus and Aziza from Dynamic Focus for capturing this video. When I found out that 2XKO had cabinets, I literally reached out to her and I'm like, I need videos, please. Literally like that. That was my voice the entire time. and you can still hear a little bit of my bronchitis in the video. But what I was really happy to see was, first of all, actual footage. The footage that you see on the YouTube video actually features full-length matches. So I tried to get as much as I could from Aziza, of course, because she was also busy and on site. And just simply looking full details of like, okay, you know, we see how things are moving in the game. We're seeing how it plays out. One of the things I pointed out in the video is sometimes you get used to watching the high level players, you know, like your Jay Wongs, some of the other creators like Apology Man as well. Like, we're so used to seeing that high level gameplay that, like, of course, we're gonna fall in love with like the video, like with the game itself. But it's really nice to see players of like that are on a lower skill setting that are just trying to figure out the game because they're either playing it for the first time or they kind of know a little bit about the game, but not a lot because, again, it's their first time actually being actively inside the game to be able to play. And that's the part that I was like really analyzing. It's like, okay, if I am someone who's brand new, who am I going to pick? It looks like I can pick Ahri for the first time because she looks like someone that can easily combo into different strings. If I'm trying to look for a difficulty setting, do I go for a more slower character, but that's tougher to actually do? Or do I go for someone like Yasuo that has a little bit more of a skill to it because you have to cancel in and out of stances? Like, those are the things that I was trying to really react to that I couldn't really be able to do so from other footage that has been shown.
So, Saki, if we wanted to see you break this game down, because I do want to remind all of our listeners and possible video podcast viewers that you were a commentator at Evo Online for PlayStation official tournaments and several other very large-scale majors, including events like Frosty and CEO Taku as well. And you very frequently do events for Fly. I think they're what are they called? FlyQuest. You do FlyQuest events as well, and you do some of the TNS online tournaments. So you're very, very well versed in breaking it down at all levels, not just incredibly high play. Where can people check out this video if they want to get a little bit more understanding of what the game may be like for the average layman Owen Tour?
Yeah, so you can check out this video on my YouTube. It's Saki Sakura. Not to be mistaken with Saki Sakura TV. That one is the otaku channel. This one's strictly Saki Sakura, and it has all things fighting games, including 2XKO footages, Mortal Kombat, Guilty Gear Strive, and the whole nine yards there.
It's awesome. Thank you so much for breaking that down for us, Saki. And thank you so much for showcasing some of the cool content that you made around 2XKO. I'm really hoping that you get an opportunity to commentate it and create more content around it. But, you know, back on the topic of Combo Breaker, I just want to say Combo Breaker is such a good event. And we've talked about this before in the cast. Actually, last year, I was having this exact conversation with Yohozi for the very first time. And now I'm here having it with you. But I think Combo Breaker does a great job of capturing exactly what makes the fighting game community the fighting game community. Like, it captures that community aspect. It captures everything. And I especially think this year, with the addition of not only the international presence that Combo Breaker kind of has all the freaking time, but the exclusivity of 2XKO, I actually think the very first offline event that was not Evo where 2XKO has been featured. Right? Like, outside of there was a League of Legends event as well where they had 2XKO, but that wasn't like fighting game. You know, this is the very first time they've ever had it at just a major that wasn't Evo, and that's huge, you know? So shout outs to Combo Breaker. Saki, are there any final thoughts you have regarding Combo Breaker in general?
Honestly, the only thoughts that I wanted to just finish out with is truly the experience is well worth it. Mm. Just like you saw all of the members in the crowd cheering during Tekken, during Strive, Grand Blue, Mortal Kombat. Combo Breaker is an experience that if you haven't gotten a chance to do so, definitely go out there and do it. I would actually say that if you had to choose an event that you could go yearly to, Combo Breaker is definitely one that should be on your list for consideration.
Yep.
You know, from both a price point to a experience point and to just the amount of games too, because I think Combo Breaker is one of the largest games or largest events that holds so many retro games and major games that you'll find and feel like you're at home.
Oh yeah, for absolute sure. And speaking of home, dear viewer, thank you so much for coming out to this episode of FGC Cast. We are too going home. You are now officially at the end of the cast, and I just want to give a couple of shout outs really, really quick, because we reached some really, really, really big milestones in the last couple of weeks for this podcast. I believe on the very last episode, we actually thanked Triple KO for featuring us and talking about us and showcasing more. But I also want to thank everybody, because as of right now, the Multiverses episode that we posted, the literal very last episode of FGC Cast, has officially broke over 1,000 plays on Spotify. This is our very first episode where we have ever had over 1,000 people or 1,000 listens for this podcast. So I just want to say thank you, everybody, so much for rating the podcast, for following the podcast specifically on Spotify. I actually think that's one of the reasons why we got on the Spotify like podcast algorithm. But I also want to shout out everybody, because we have officially broken over 200 Spotify followers. As of right now, we're at 236 at the time of this recording on June 9th. And on our YouTube channel, we have 389 YouTube subscribers, which is crazy. Just round of applause. Thank you so much for the support, everybody. This is absolutely huge. When we say follow us on all of these platforms, when we say support us and rate us 5 stars on all of these platforms, it really truly does help. And we're seeing the growth. I expected this podcast to grow, but I did not expect anywhere near the type of growth that we've seen so far. Saki, what about you? How do you feel about this growth?
I was shocked, to be honest. When we started this cast, I was like, wait, what? That's how much we had? Like, it's crazy how we've been at this for, I want to say like 3 months now, yep. Sharpie, if yep. I'm not mistaken.
We created the podcast like about 2 years ago, but me and you have officially been hosting it mm-hmm. as of now 3 months.
Yeah, and you know, for me, my goal was to collaborate with you, Sharpie. That was my first and only goal, to be honest, is to find a way to collaborate. But to be on the podcast when you asked me was like, let's go. I hope I can keep up with you. And the fact that we've been able to just be so consistent. And thank you again, dear viewers, for honestly just being amazing and helping support this amazing project.
Yeah, and as always, if people want to support you, Saki, how can they do so?
So you can find me at SakiSakuraTV.info. I have my own website now. Yeah. So that is where you can find everything about me. So again, SakiSakuraTV.info.
It's a fantastic website, Saki. You worked really hard on it, and I'm glad that you made it. I do want to remind our viewers and listeners that we here at FGC Cast also have a website. You can go to www.fgccast or fgcast.com and check us out. We have actually really, really cool clips right there. And one of the awesome parts is, hey, you know, maybe you're trying to go ahead and share more about this and you don't necessarily want to link directly to the YouTube, or you just want to find out where you can find more of the podcast and free ways to support us. You know, that is all there on the website. As always, I want to thank everyone for following us on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts, in addition to also rating us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. That helps immensely. But hey, you guys know what? Tell you what, I'll see you offline.